As you can see from the thing on your worship folder, the meditational prelude where Jesus is laid, destinies are made. It's one of those poetic things that I always try to do sometimes. Well, not I can't always do it, but try to put it that way. Where Jesus is laid, destinies are made. And the Bible tells us about how people laid Jesus in various places for different reasons. And this first part of the text tells of one of those incidents. And then the second part of the text is Mary Magdalene running from the empty tomb, and she's crying this twice. She cries it twice. She says it to Peter. She says it to the angels. We do not know where they have laid him, or, you know, can you tell me where they have laid my Lord? Well, the title of this message is Where Have You Laid Him? And it sort of personalizes this question that Mary had. And the answer is also a personal answer for us. What do we answer to this question? Well, it's because where Jesus is laid, destinies are made. And before we get into these two passages, let's look at a couple of other passages that talk about where Jesus was laid by different people. Well, the first one was his mother Mary, laid him in a manger. And I do like the Battle Hymn of the Republic, the last verse especially. But I like the last verse especially because it has Jesus born in the beauty of the lilies. You know how it goes. He wasn't. He was born in a filthy, foul-smelling stable. And we say, how did God let that happen? You know, and there is a divine reason, but there's also a human reason. And the human reason was there was no room in the inn. I'd like to read this whole poem, but it's too long. It's a poem by Miles Connolly, and it's called Said the Innkeeper. Said the Innkeeper. It's a very, very good poem. I don't know, that might be able to look it up on the internet. But Miles Connolly here, it depicts the innkeeper who has a lot of priorities that are different than the priority of Jesus coming and being born on his property. And here's what it says. I saw the poorness of the pair and put them out, and I did well. Two merchants took the great room overhead. It is my principle. I buy and sell and give my pity to the dead. What could I say? A man must make his living while he may. It's a great poem, and you know, that was his reasoning. But God also had a reason. God also had a reason behind this happening. And it's stated very well in 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Proud priorities must bow before the great humility, the divine humility that was shown, this matchless humility of God, the God-man, the incarnate God, coming down to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. That was his humility. Where Jesus is laid, destinies are made. Mary lay the sweet baby child, Christ child, Jesus, at her breast to nurse. So tender and so lovely. And the innkeeper, he had other priorities, letting him lie in this filthy stable. But how about us? We have to apply this to our own selves. You know, do we ever let worldly concerns get in the way? Priorities that might make us push Christ to the side or in the back row, out of sight for just right now. Don't have time right now. Well, we've got to think about those kind of questions when we ask this question, where have you laid him? His enemies laid him on a cross. In John 19:18, before these other passages, it says, they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Jesus had been beaten terribly, and he was so weak from bleeding that it was easy just to push him down backwards so that he was laid on the cross, and then they nailed him there. He was also stripped of his clothing and was further shamed by being crucified between two thieves. Isaiah had predicted this in Isaiah 53:12. He poured out his life. He did it. He poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He had chosen to identify with sinners. He had done this all through his ministry. He had chosen to identify with sinners. And he chose to pour out his life for sinners. And he completed his association with those for whom he came to die. He chose to die with them. To die with sinners. So who laid Jesus on the cross? Was it Pilate? Was it the Jews? Many people say, well, it's us. We laid Jesus on the cross. Well, this is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Those principalities and powers that wanted to see him put down, those dark hosts of Satan were trying to defeat this. It's just a man. Look, God's become a man. We can kill him. We can get rid of him. But you know what? They failed. They failed. They played right into God's hand. They didn't realize that they were bringing the end of Satan's dominion. And our destiny of freedom, our destiny of freedom from sin, forgiven, being forgiven from our sins, and destined for heaven, all of that destiny came when they laid Jesus on the cross. They laid him there. And then he had some fearful friends. And this is the first passage we had read about Joseph and Nicodemus. They were secret disciples. They were afraid. Joseph, it says that he was afraid when he went to Pilate. He did it secretly for fear of the Jews. Now, he was a Pharisee and he was a leader, but he was afraid. And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he was afraid too. And you say, well, why were they doing this then? Well, they were secretly disciples of Jesus, but now something had happened. Their messianic hopes had come to an end. Maybe he was the Messiah, but he wasn't. He was just a good rabbi, so we're going to honor this good rabbi. So they were disciples secretly. And they only did this honoring of Jesus by his burial. And they did an elaborate honoring. 100 pounds of spices wrapped in these linens. I don't even know if the ladies knew that when they went to the tomb. Because they brought spices. They say, we want to honor Jesus. Well, he was wrapped in 100 pounds of spices from these rich people. Well, fear can sometimes get the best of our loyalty to Christ. We might be afraid to let other people know that Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is our Savior, but he's also the Lord. He's the King. And we might fear to hear the words said about us, oh, you're not one of those serious believers, are you? you're not one of the, you don't really seriously take all of this for real, and you follow this Jesus who's crucified and dead? No, he's risen. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. Thought you guys would know that from Easter morning. Well, we hear nothing more of these two secret, fearful believers in the New Testament. We often hear repetitions like Simon of Cyrene, his two sons are in church, listed in church. So we say, there's a lot of people that listed in the Bible that were in the New Testament, but we don't see Nicodemus and we don't see Joseph of Arimathea listed anymore. And they had laid him in a dark tomb. And it was almost symbolic because they did this all in the dark. They did this all secretly. They did this to hide from, because they had fears. Here's what Jesus had said, though. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus wants to be laid openly before the world in our words and in our deeds. Well, this last final laying of Jesus, his Father laid him in Zion. And this is where this verse comes from. This is not the King James. It's the New International. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 18. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay in Zion a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. Well, sometimes when we're dismayed, we make haste. That's what the King James said. We make haste when we're scared, and but we're not dismayed when we lay our lives on Christ. Human destiny depends on where the Father has laid his Son. He laid him as the foundation, as the cornerstone of our future. Peter, who was afraid and who denied Christ three times, was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and he became bold in his testimony for Christ. And when this person had been healed outside the temple, they were arrested, Peter and John. But here's what Peter said when he was arrested standing before the court. If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all you people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He, Jesus, is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It's to our eternal loss or our eternal gain. If we trip over this cornerstone or we trust in Christ and make him the foundation for our lives, for building on that foundation, to build our lives on him, the foundation. Later on, when Peter was older and maybe near the time of he was getting up there in age and ready to go himself, he was actually crucified upside down by tradition. But in 1 Peter, he wrote this about us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected
has become the capstone, the cornerstone. And a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock of that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey the message. Where Jesus is laid, destinies are made. Some are still laying him aside. They're too busy. They can't be bothered. There's other priorities. I've got to do my stuff. I've got my other priorities. And some lay him out of the way because his claims are too extreme. This Messiah King, his claims, they're so extreme. His teachings cover everything. It's like it's too far-reaching. Wants to take over. His person is too imposing, you know. And they must explain him away because he's just a man. He's just a myth. He's a mistake in history somehow. And some laid him in a dark tomb of their own fears, afraid of what others will think if they identify with Jesus. But God lays him as the foundation, the cornerstone of Zion, the foundation of the city of God, the hope of our eternal salvation. And that's why Mary Magdalene's worry, her concern on Easter morning, it becomes a question for us all. Where have you laid him? Is he our center? Do we make him the foundation? Do we make him our supreme Lord? Where in our lives have we laid Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for these many different locations where you were laid by different people. Lord, we want to be a people that lays you right at the center of our lives. You are the stone that we can build our lives upon, and us become living stones built up into a spiritual house. Lord God, may this be so. Let us take to heart every morning as we wake up, where am I laying Jesus today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.